B-Pod Studios.
Brilliant.
Talk about a cameo. Matt Damon there. Great cameo.
Oh, absolutely.
Phenomenal cameo.
Oh, God. He was great in that movie. Of all movies for like Matt, I still feel like, was that movie ever in theaters?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I just remember all of a sudden it was on HBO. And I was like, how come I didn't know about this movie? But it's a great movie. Nonetheless, Eurovision. Jamie and I both happened to watch this movie yesterday. I will say, Toots was looking at me yesterday and going, can we stop this? And I was like, oh, no, I'm in. Like,
all right, so what time of day did you watch this?
7:45.
Okay, that's
a
good time.
We just put Lil Toots to bed. We made some dinner, and we were good to go.
Because I was questioning Jamie a lot. We were talking about this during the break. So he was alone, and the way he had his day just baffles me. You know, you at least, 7:45, good time. Like, there's nothing else going on. Let me throw in a movie.
I had a day.
He had a beautiful day. He had no one around, and he sat and watched a movie when it was beautiful outside. I could never do that. Never. Yeah. But that's what you did. And you said it was exactly what you planned on doing, right, James?
Yeah, I mean, the last time I was able to just lay down on a couch and mindlessly navigate the TV for like a six-hour window and play some video games was... a long time ago.
Exactly.
It seems longer, too, right?
So I very much enjoyed the hell out of just being a couch potato yesterday.
It's Will Ferrell. It's Rachel McAdams. Demi Lovato.
You said Rachel doesn't look that good in this movie, huh?
No, they dress her down a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's one scene. There's like a party scene. She looks nice. She's a pretty lady.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Yeah. Notebook off.
Yeah. And things are growing our way. I don't think that's her singing.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. But nonetheless, it's a stupid movie that I enjoyed.
Sounds like a Disney movie to me. Like,
it's got Disney tendencies.
Yeah. It's incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
Seriously, what you guys can't do, if you're going to make a bet on how long I'm lasting, you can't have things like incredibly stupid and maybe a belly laugh here and there in my head.
Yeah. Well, so I put the line, I think the line of 30 minutes is too high. I'm going to put the line for Bob sticking it out through this movie.
12 minutes.
I was going to say 18 and a half.
Okay, I would take the under.
You would take the, okay, wow, drastic under if you're only saying 12. Okay. See, I'm saying motivation because it's 2 hours. Like, yeah, there's got to be something here. There's a couple of things that happen early on in the movie that you're like, okay, this is a weird movie. Let me at least see where this goes for a minute. I think you make it over to 18 and a half.
All right, see, now timing is big on this. Like, so tonight we're going to have dinner with friends, social distancing dinner with friends, and then I think we're going home to watch Hamilton.
It's on Disney Plus tonight. Yeah.
So I think tonight's taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, there's not much going on because we don't want to be in a huge gathering because, you know, we have our kids with us,
pandemic,
whatever.
Yeah.
So tomorrow might just be a day of you know, having fun. It might be tomorrow night. Saturday night might be the night that I turn it on. And it'll be if I'm going to, you know, what kind of mood I'm in and all. But, I'm not thinking I'm going to make it long with what you guys are telling me.
I'm going over 18 and a half.
But you said there is something that's going to hook me in.
I will say this. It's not like any other Will Ferrell movie I've seen.
I'm a big Will Ferrell fan.
Okay.
Most people are. But so that's the draw.
Yeah. Put it this way. I enjoyed this movie more than I watched. What was that other Will Ferrell movie with Julie Louis-Dreyfus?
I never even saw that one.
Downfall? Avalanche?
Yeah, about the
Avalanche.
Whatever
it was called. Yeah, that movie was there. This movie was at least funny. It was a funny movie. It was stupid. I'm glad I watched it. I'm careful in who I recommend it to.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not recommending that to everyone.
No, absolutely not. But it's on Netflix, and if people aren't doing anything this weekend, they're probably going to watch the movie.
It's pretty stupid.
Just
go into it knowing it's dumb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like...
See, that doesn't help.
It's not fair to always compare an artist to their best work, but that's what we do in our minds, and we're helpless against that power. Like, anything Will Ferrell does is like, was it like Step Brothers? Is it like Anchorman?
Right.
You know what I mean? No, it's not. But it is dumb. I will say this. I saw the worst Will Ferrell movie ever. And that was what's his name? The detective fella. Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah.
God, that was stupid.
Yeah.
That wasn't even fun. That was just a dumb movie. This was at least fun.
So if I do last through it, will I be pissed off that I did it? Because as I'm telling you, listening to you guys, I'm getting anxious that you lasted through it.
You're not going 2 hours. That's a damn guarantee right there.
Yeah. But I want to, because I want to prove you wrong. You know, it's a challenge now.
Well,
obviously, I love to meet challenges and you know, beat them.
I'm going
to give it a go. I am. I'm going to try hard tomorrow night.
Here's the rock and a hard place, Jamie, that Bob's going to face. He wants to prove me wrong, but in doing that, he'll prove you right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob's just not going to watch the movie.
Yeah. No, I swear to God, I'm giving it a shot. I'm going to put on Twitter, sitting down now to watch this movie. I'm getting antsy already.
Don't watch The Shining immediately after. It's a weird combination.
That is a really weird thing. Usually it's you watch the heavy-hearted thing, the serious thing first, and then you're like, all right, let me
lighten it up
here. Exactly. This way I would dream about Rachel McAdams and not, you know, Jack Nicholson being a frozen.
The creepiest character ever.
And the lady in the bathtub. No, thanks.
Yeah.
I could go without that.
Yeah, it was the first time I'd seen it in a long time, so.
Yeah.
Highs and lows.
There you go.
Great cinema to Volvo penis jokes. Quite the contrast.
Anyway. We did put out our Twitter poll. We made it official here. It's brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Who will be the MVP when the Sixers season resumes? As of right now, who do you have? Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, or Shake Milton? You could also write in other. And as of right now, I don't believe we have any other write-in votes, but Ben Simmons is leading the pack. 45% say Ben Simmons will be the MVP when the season resumes. Joel Embiid is a second. Right now, he's got 40%, so he's 5 percentage points behind Ben Simmons right now. So that's where we're at. Shake Milton's actually getting votes, and I think I think Pat Eigenfeld did that just to mess with us.
Yeah, he's a messer.
So we got hit up on Twitch here. I saw this actually, our first comment on Twitch today, and Blurry Billy 86 said, players are not having their names released. Major League Baseball is not announcing the names of players that test positive for COVID-19. He feels it's because they don't want the league to shut down. I feel like that would be all the more reason to actually announce the names. Announce the names. Release the names of people that actually test positive for COVID-19.
Well, I don't understand what he's saying. He doesn't want the names. He doesn't think they're releasing it because the league.
They want to keep it under wraps.
Okay.
It's one thing to say a player's injured.
From whom? Like, if the public knows, that's not going to shut down Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball knows who these players are.
Right.
The only people that's going to shut down Major League Baseball is Major League Baseball.
There could be public pressure.
Yeah, but it's going to be up to them, ultimately.
Oh, sure it is.
Yeah, there's public pressure now that these teams are even starting. We get it on people that call saying, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah, right.
We do polls and people say they shouldn't play.
Right. So they don't announce the names, but they don't release the names, I should say. Then Matt Breen, the Inquirer, or excuse me, Inquirer.com, comes out and says that it's Kingery, Hector Neris, Ranger Suarez, Tommy Hunter. Four names that are on that like mystical list that no one knows what it is, but everyone knows what it is kind of thing. I don't like the idea of this being secretive. And if you can argue HIPAA laws and all this, I get it and I respect that. But to me, in the midst of a pandemic, I just feel like this should be a more widely known thing. Like if I'm a player in the league and Scott Kingery's at second base, I'm sliding in the second base. I'd like to know.
Yeah.
I'd at least like to know. Now you could also argue, well, he's not playing if he has COVID-19. He's not playing if he has coronavirus, so why would you worry? I don't know. I just feel like it's better if it's in the open.
Plus,
I want to know if I slid into him last week. You know what I mean?
And taking it to a bigger level. Plus, if I know he had it and he got through it, I'd like information from. Hey, like, how did it go with you? Did you get sick? What did you do? Because God forbid you have a family member. Oh, I talked to this guy Scott Kingery. You know, he did this. Why don't you try that? You know, I mean, the more you know, God, we're doing the NBC thing here.
Nice.
But it's true. The more information you have is a better way of trying to battle this thing.
Oh, absolutely.
So what is, look, I don't need to know everybody's personal information, but yeah, knowing who had it, knowing how, I would love if guys, you know, professional athletes that went through it, then talk about it. Let me know what you went through so that, oh, wow, okay, that's similar to somebody I know. Or if somebody who, God forbid, has it, here's a player talk about it and says, wow, that's exactly what I'm going through now. oh, you did that and it helped? Okay, let me try it. Mm. Something. Like, the more information is always better.
Like, are we going to shame these people
no,
for having it?
God, no.
Exactly. So why?
I mean, I'll shame those kids that are having the parties, of course, but...
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, but no, there shouldn't be shame. Did you maybe do something wrong to get it? Did you go to a batting cage with, like, four other people or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, fine. We're all human. We make mistakes, but hiding it? I don't see any benefit at all. I really don't.
I only see a benefit in being more open about it. Again, whether it's information sharing, whether it's just knowing that, oh, wait, that guy tested positive yesterday. I slid into him 2 days ago, like something like that. Like, that only helps. So then that player wouldn't, I don't know, that player might be a little bit more cautious, more might expedite the process of getting tested just to make sure so he doesn't pass it along, being asymptomatic, whatever it might be, whatever could happen. I just don't see any negative of sharing every ounce of information that you could possibly share when it comes to coronavirus, especially with how it can catch so fast, so how it can spread so quickly.
And like I told you, my friend whose child got it right away, I have to make a phone call to one of my kids who knows this person and say, hey, were you around such and such or anybody in that group? No, I wasn't. Okay, just making sure. And he's, yeah, I know. Like, that's what you have to do. If I didn't know that name, and God forbid one of my kids was around and they didn't find out, like, then it's just, it's wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the benefits of not sharing. I really don't.
And how about the NBA right now? They started testing, last week on the June 23rd?
Yeah.
25 players now tested positive.
I think I heard just over 7%.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And then they did, like, I don't know how this number could be right, but this is what I heard. Somewhere close to 800 assistants, and I guess it's people that might be in the traveling party, assistant coaches, probably whatever it may be, so on and so forth. And it was only like 1% of those, which is good because you're dealing with an older crowd, obviously, with that.
Mm-hmm. And also, the Clippers shut down their travel?
Because and facility temporarily.
Yeah, and so they're like, okay, let's pump the brakes for a second, and then we'll be there in a minute, guys. Just hold on.
Put Kawhi and Paul in a bubble and get them away from everybody.
And Denver had already done it. Denver did it on last Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. And Jokic is going to, he got tested again.
Yeah, he's got to pass two positives until he can travel back over here because he's still in Serbia. I was going to say Siberia.
Yeah, it's just, close. Not America is where he is. There's going to be more problems. There's going to be more tests, and we all know that. And I hope the NBA is a little bit more open about it than Major League Baseball. Look, if I'm missing something huge here, I want to know, but because I'm not familiar with HIPAA laws other than that's my health, you can't talk about it type of deal, and I respect that privacy. But in a setting like this, I feel like it should be more open. And I credit a lot of the athletes that have come out and talked about it. Like Andrew McCutchen, we talked to him yesterday, and I still can't get over that he apologized for the collective bargaining agreement and the negotiating that was so public, the way it was public. I give him so much credit for at least acknowledging that, and how bad that looked. He did argue on the side of players, as you would expect, saying, like, look, it's also a business. But to apologize to fans, that was a big thing. We'll play that for you a little bit later. But as far as the player safety goes, I'm hoping all leagues are open about this because I only see the positive of being open about it.
Well, they're going to have to be, right? I mean, if they start play.
Well, what would you rather do, control the story or have reporters snooping around?
No, exactly. You want to control the story, but it's going to be so what's going to happen? The Phillies will be in game 12 and you notice that Bryce Harper isn't in the lineup. And Girardi says, yeah, we're giving him the day off. Then he's not in it the next day. Yeah, we're going to give him about 14 days off just to rest. It's going to be obvious. I mean, you know, they're just going to have to come out and say, yes, such and such tested positive. It's right out there in front of you. Yeah. You're not going to have a starting lineup out there without Joel Embiid and try to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Sixers aren't going to be able to hide this one.
Well, they did it before.
Well, they did have some players test positive at the beginning of all this, right?
I know, but they were able to keep it quiet because those players didn't have to go on the court in front of, you know, people.
Right. I'm just curious.
And I thought that was bogus.
Of the stars already got it.
Right.
We'd never know at this point, but that's a good thing for being in the bubble.
By the way, speaking of this bubble, and there's going to be a bubble 2.0, which we'll talk about in Chicago.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Have we met?
Jeez.
Is there any player that probably will not have any issue with the bubble whatsoever, more so than Kawhi Leonard? Like, Kawhi Leonard's just going to sit in his room and, like, recharge.
Yeah, exactly. Plug into the USB port.
Yeah, did anybody else have that same mental image of just Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, yeah.
Like, his alarm goes off, game time, and go. Like, is that, I'm not alone there.
Doesn't he eat the entire apple? Like the core and everything?
I thought he just eats batteries.
I think the apple cores energize him.
I have a friend who eats the whole peanut.
The shell?
Yeah. Do you guys know people like
I've
that?
I've tried it and it's awful.
He doesn't crack a, he just gomp and eats the whole peanut.
The peanut.
Yeah, we were at a Phillies game. We were in like high school. I looked over, I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? And this is like my best friend. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, I always eat peanuts like this.
Is this Rock?
No, it's my friend Glenn. Yeah.
That sounds like a Glenn move.
That's such a Glenn move.
So here's a great Glenn story. So we're at that game.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. So we're having a couple of beers, and we're buying, there's like five of us. So I buy a round, Rock buys a round,
This
D
is when you
around.
Guys were 12, yeah.
No. We were, I think, close to of age.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're doing, Glenn never buys a beer. And we're like, what the hell? Like, kind of among ourselves, we're like, why is he? So Glenn gets up, says, I got to go to the bathroom. So he goes to the bathroom. So then we're all together. We're like, what the hell? Is he going to buy a beer or what? Glenn comes back carrying four beers and four hot dogs. We're like, oh, all right, go, way to go, Olds. His name's Olds. So he walks up, hands us everything. We all open up our hot dog containers, and they each have a bite taken out of them. Glenn's cheap. Glenn is cheap. So what the hell made you do this? He goes, they're expensive.
He basically charged a you fly, I buy tax.
Yes, he did. Yes. He did. Yeah, no question.
So I respect that in a way. I've never tried the whole peanut.
It's weird. Not isn't good. It? I've not tried good. It since I saw him do. But there's a dirt factor.
Yeah, the dirt factor. They get stringy. They're just not. It's not enjoyable.
Yeah, I'll take the time to crack and eat.
Yeah,
he just didn't.
I imagine the people that got to go around cleaning up the stadium after the peanut eaters. See, they appreciate him. And his
I would
work.
Assume. Yeah,
I know some people when they're sick, they eat an orange. The whole thing.
Oh,
they like eat the what is it? The rind and everything. Mm. They eat that whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. I know that's a thing.
Now, zest is really good for cooking, but I don't want to eat the whole rind.
Yeah,
no way.
No. People want to get after that, apparently.
Have you ever grabbed the tomato like it's an apple and eaten it that way?
Oh, no. God, no.
No, but I'll slice a tomato and just put some sea salt on it.
That's still gross. But if I saw somebody grab a tomato and start eating it like an apple, I am not kidding. I would puke on spot.
I knew a kid when we were younger. He was a really good athlete. He used to eat onions like an apple.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Messed up.
That is... Like, I'm going to spend the rest of the day actually thinking about that. That's a peanut eater.
I don't know if he's, like, a serial murderer at this point. He could have been. We lost contact.
I think I saw him on the news.
This just popped into my head, though. Doesn't Anthony eat lemons?
Yeah, he will.
I eat lemons. I like lemons.
Like, just eat a lemon.
Yeah, Lil Toots will eat lemons. We'll give her a lemon, and she'll be like, party time.
Yeah, Skylar loves lemons.
Wait, what was the look on their face the first time you gave them lemons to babies? Because I never did that with my kids.
Oh, it's awesome.
Because I'm a decent human being.
She loves them.
Yeah. She grabbed the lemon herself and put it in her mouth.
Your kids are two of the best young eaters I think I've ever heard of. And I'm being honest. Like, dude, Jamie.
One of Skylar's favorite things is dill pickle spears.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, you do you.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's no, that they say there's like the sleep regression, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I hope that doesn't, it hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened to us yet, luckily, right, yeah,
I'm
on wood.
I'm hoping when she's three, she's like, I don't want eggs. I'm like, well, tough, okay?
All right. They're easy for dad to make, yeah, and they're filling.
What'd you make? You can't even reach the stove. Like, you'll have what I give you. That's how that works. But nonetheless.
Yeah, you'll see.
Yeah, I didn't have options growing up. I had to sit at the table for like 3 hours one time. My grandmother made me sit at the table because my grandmother made shrimp chow mein.
And you weren't allowed to get up until you ate it.
A 75-year-old Polish woman made shrimp chow mein. I didn't like it. And she was like, guess what? You're going to sit there and you're going to eat that. That's how that worked.
I'm not kidding you. I was like 6 years old. My mom was away because her dad was sick. So she was like, so my dad, he made me sit at the table until I ate a slice of tomato. And I hated it. And I couldn't talk back to him at the time, but I was like, why are you making me do this? And he already had caught me spitting it into the napkin, so that didn't work.
Okay.
So, like, I had to sit there. And I remember the Olympics were on. I'm not kidding you. I remember, like, it was yesterday. I held my nose, chopped it up into little tiny pieces, and swallowed it whole. And it was a small piece of tomato. And I was like, I went upstairs and, like, cried.
All this because Jamie mentioned Kawhi Leonard eats apples in its entirety.
It's like childhood is terrible.
It's a 4-minute rabbit hole, but nonetheless, it's a crazy thing that Kawhi Leonard fell. People are hitting us up about the restart in the other leagues. And I'm doing what everybody else is doing, including the players like DeMar DeRozan, who we talked about earlier. They're just crossing their fingers. They're just going to do what, like, they're basically going to try to not do anything stupid. And I don't think they're going to be calling some snitch line. I know that snitch line's out there, and we talked about it with Brian Windhorst a couple last week. I don't think players are going to go that far. I think they're going to just seek out the player. I think they're going to have that conversation. I think they're going to have that conversation with players around the league that might be breaking code and try to police themselves. And not with a snitch line.
I would hope that's the first place you go.
Oh, to the player themselves?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, dude, what the hell? Why are you leaving? Or, like, why are you bringing this person in?
Yeah.
What are you doing, man?
Like, you know who I feel the most sorry for is the PR people of the teams. Because you know how many phone calls they're going to be getting daily? Hey, can I do this? Am I allowed to do that? Can I go here? Can I go there? Can I do this? Can I do that? Can you call here? Can you get me a tea time? These PR people are going to be inundated with these requests and questions from these guys.
It's going to be awful. And even like watching DeMar DeRozan talk about this yesterday, he's got to represent the vast majority of the league.
Oh my God! Yeah,
like there are people out there that are going to read it, you know, back to back, cover to cover, 113 pages. They're going to read that whole document, and they're going to go, oh, okay, this is what I can do, this is what I can't do. They're going to have they're going to have a good idea of everything that's going on. Then there's going to be the other people doing exactly what you said, just asking, hey, is it cool if we do? And I guarantee you, by the way, yes, some might call the PR people. A lot will. But they're going to be asking one another. And to be like, yeah, I guess we could do that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to, you know.
Hey, fingers crossed that all this works out. Fauci gave it an endorsement.
Yeah, Lil T was on board, yeah.
Dr. Anthony Fauci said that he thinks the NBA actually has a really good shot at pulling this off. I don't know how he feels about bubble 2.0. That, again, seems like a terrible idea.
Yeah, I understand why, because money. But why?
Yeah, money. But,
well, just pay them.
Well, yeah,
they're fine.
Yeah, but the other part is, like, what are you getting out of
them? Talking about 8 games to catch corona?
See, this is what happens when you open it up to the 8 more games.
It's so dumb.
You open it up to the other teams that aren't in the playoffs, that aren't in this final push, aren't in this final tournament, to go, hey, what about me? And it's like, well, first off, why would you even want to be a part of this? Because I get paid. Oh, damn.
I don't know. I can't wait for the Hornets versus the Hawks. I mean, that seems like a thrilling game.
Oh, Cavaliers, Knicks. Give me that daytime tip.
Go. Wait, who put it out there? Warriors and Warriors and Cavs, like old times. And I was like, I admire it. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we'll jump more into some Ben Simmons comments. We'll also jump into what Andrew McCutchen got into yesterday with us. One, the apology, and two, his actual expectations for this Philly season. That's when we return here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour, way back when now. It was brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC for all your power generation HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit UnitedRentals.com. Coming up 8:30 today, about an hour from now, we'll speak to our friend Keith Pompey, Inquirer.com, about all things Sixers. And Bubba, I do mean all things Sixers. Yanni Coleman, a former Sixers dancer, is accusing the videos out there of other dancers going after her racially. That's never a positive. Forget about whatever times we're in right now, never a good time for that to happen. And it didn't look like some people in the Sixers organization handled it the best way possible either. And Keith had a great write-up on that the other day. I've actually met Yanni once or twice, and she's awesome. Like, she's just really, really cool, really nice, really down to earth. And when I saw this come across, because we follow each other on social media, I was shocked and disappointed, obviously. So we'll talk to Keith Pompey about all that and more coming up at 8:30 today, as well as our expectations for when the Sixers do return. We'll walk you through our Twitter poll, let you hear from Ben Simmons in this segment, and we'll also get into that conversation about Andrew McCutchen. But before we go any further, we were just talking about health for players and whether or not it should be released by Major League Baseball of who tests positive for COVID-19. But we can't go any further talking about players' health and not mention Oscar Lindblom. We talked about it before the show. I want to bring it up right now in a good 7:30 is a good chunk of time here. Like, I'm not kidding when I say I teared up when I saw him walk down the hallway there. Getting treated for Ewing sarcoma, and to have his final treatment and be able to ring that bell in front of all his nurses and I believe hug his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That was, we've all, I feel like this gets said a lot, but, you know, we all know someone who's been affected by cancer. We've all been affected by cancer trying to help somebody else deal with their own personal, very intimate experience. Yeah, that was pretty amazing and very inspiring. to watch Oscar Lindblom walk down that hallway and ring that bell, and also take the time to have that moment with his nurses. And I do mean all the nurses that were there. And I know you saw the same video, Bob.
Yeah, and you know, he had a line. He said, "I'm just happy to be alive." And you know, and was trying to give a lesson to everybody, saying, you know, if you feel something wrong with you, please go get it checked out. And all I kept thinking was, like, my God, you're 23. You're not supposed to be given the lessons. You're supposed to still be learning them.
Yeah,
but thank
right.
God he is here to do it. And, you know, his message was loud and clear. And I thought the coolest thing, yeah, it's a professional player. And, yeah, there's some adulation that'll come with that and all with the nurses. But one of the nurses just shouted out, like, you've been great. Like, you've been so great. Or one of the things they shouted, it wasn't that he was a professional hockey player or anything like that. It was a 23-year-old that went through it and had a positive attitude and thank God was able to ring that bell. And it's in such a down time, it's so great to see something like that.
Yeah. And even going back to when they shut things down in December, I believe it was, seeing the way the team rallied around him and, you know, hashtag Oscar Strong.
Yeah.
And it was funny, I had mentioned on the air that I had interviewed former Phillies pitcher, I'm blanking on his name now, Lindblom.
Oscar.
Trevor Lindblom. No.
Wait, not Lindblom.
Yeah. Lindblom.
Former
Phillies pitcher. I'm blanking on his name because I'm an idiot. But nonetheless, I was...
Jamie, I'll get it.
Yeah, I was interviewing him, and he... Because I asked him how to say his last name, because when he was here, there was two different ways you would say it. It was like Lindblom.
Oh, Josh Lindblom?
Josh Lindblom.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was Lindblom when he was here.
Right.
But some people would say Lindblom, and he goes, well, I believe it's like the hockey player, Lindblom. And he goes, I'm going to go with Lindblom to honor Oscar Lindblom.
Oh, okay.
And I was like,
right.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Where we're going.
That's actually, yeah.
That is cool.
Kinda,
that's very
kinda,
cool.
Yeah. But so it made its way around, you know, through all the professional sports, not just hockey. But the Flyers, as per usual, couldn't have been better about this, both players and the organization throughout all this. So congratulations to Oscar Lindblom.
And the whole league.
Yeah, you know, I saw the Penguins league. Tweet the Penguins. Back at the Flyers yesterday, yeah. The picture of Malkin, Crosby, and some other... probably douche, wearing Oscar Strong shirts, which was a very cool move by them.
It really was. It made me go, thanks, Penguins.
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah, yeah, yeah. Nice move, Penguins.
But seeing that video that the Flyers put out yesterday of Oscar Lindblom ringing that bell, that's one of the best things I have seen in 2020. That's for damn sure. And I know it's been slim pickings in 2020, but if that wasn't the best moments, that's just...
Hey, 2020's crazy. Halfway over.
Now it is.
Yeah.
So now it is. Something else that was really good, not on the same level of Oscar Lindblom, but still something that made me smile yesterday, was when we asked Andrew McCutchen, who came on with us yesterday at 9:05. I mean, what better baseball time than an 05, right? 9:05 comes on with us. But actually, he didn't come on with us till about 9:10. Because the first 5 minutes, and we were all looking at each other like, is he gonna shift to Andrew McCutchen yet?
Is he gonna get out of character?
Because he was talking to us as Uncle Larry for a good amount of time. But when he did, and he did shift, and both were great. But when he did shift out of that character into Andrew McCutchen, he was great again, but just in a different way. We asked him because you have to ask this question sometimes, especially in a media like we're in. That is so directly connected to the fans. Like, there's a give and take here. There's callers that we talk to. There's people that tweet the show, reread the tweets. There's people that hit us up on other social media platforms. People that hit us up on Twitch while we're doing the show, right, as we're broadcasting the Twitch version of this show. It's very interactive. So this is one of the rare occasions. Like, a press conference, for whatever reason, I just feel like it's weird when people ask so what do you have to say to the fans? But in this platform, I feel like it's a little bit more appropriate. So we asked him basically yesterday, there's a lot of the labor turmoil that was out there in the open. What do you have to say to the people, and myself included in this, me included, what do you have to say to people like me that do have a little bit of animosity when it comes to Major League Baseball and the Players Association for having these so public negotiations about trying to restart in the midst of a pandemic and basically showing the animosity there? What do you have to say about that, Andrew McCutchen? What do you want to tell the fans? Here's what he said.
I want to apologize, Madden, because that's not something that needs to be in the middle of this game. We understand that every 5 years there's a collective bargaining agreement, just like any sport that's out there. But, you know, when all these things became public, you know, and all these things started to happen and come out, it just put the game in a very, very bad state. So I just first and foremost want to apologize, but also realize that negotiations is a part and it's a process. It is something that we do. It's not always pretty, but it's something that we have to do.
Look, he knows it's a business aspect of it. He has to say that because of the people that he's around, his colleagues, basically. We all get that. We all know it's a business. Mm-hmm. Like, no fan's like, nope, just serve me and shut up. Like, no, nobody's that stupid. I hope not. But he also understands the way it looks for people. And you talk about, 45 million Americans going for unemployment? And I know some of that's starting to bounce back now, which is great, but a lot of it's still not.
Yeah.
He knows how it looks. He knows that people are going to hold a grudge. And he also knows that, by the way, he's not an idiot. You got three other sports that are going to be going on at the same exact time. Baseball, as I've been saying, not the backseat, the way, way back, the old Volvo station wagon. That, to me, is what he was talking about yesterday, and that's why he apologized. And that's why sometimes when you say, oh, well, why do you ask the question? What's he going to say? You don't always get an apology. A lot of times you get a justification. Because all you're thinking about as a player is the other guys in that locker room, the other guys in that clubhouse. And that's not always a terrible thing, but you can't ignore the other aspect of it. You can't ignore the idea that people wanted that outlet in the midst of the pandemic. And instead of rushing back to work, like, we get not having a 162-game season. We get maybe even not having a 114-game season like the players did propose to the owners. But to make it so public and have it dwindle down to only 60 games... And you could have still been the first sport back by a month or so? Yeah, people are going to hold a little bit of a grudge. They're going to have a little bit of animosity towards you. To actually acknowledge that and apologize for it, I think was very big of him.
And he didn't. He said it in a humanized way. It was, you know, I care about the people. I understand where you are. It wasn't, you know, toe the line. I have to say this because that's what we're supposed. He didn't say, although we can kind of think that maybe he was referring to, damn, we got caught in public having these battles. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that. Like, Andrew McCutchen might be the most down-to-earth athlete that we have here in Philadelphia right now of understanding fans. And that's not a knock on anybody else. But what he said yesterday, you and I were sitting here, and when he started the apology, our eyes just looked up at each other like, wow.
I expected a justification.
What? Like, this is cool.
Yeah,
exactly.
I didn't expect...
This is why we did it. I hope you understand. It wasn't that. It was a full-fledged... Man, I'm sorry you guys had to see that side of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he really feels bad about it.
He was great. I really do feel lucky. First off, I think the guy can still play. And he said he's 100% healthy. He'll be ready to go in left field come opening day, which we all expected. But until you hear the guy say that, you know, you don't know what to think. So nonetheless, that's great. But he also talked about the expectations for the season, and that's more of the X's and O's. And he's optimistic, especially when it comes to what these bats can do in the lineup. Here's Andrew McCutchen on the expectations for the Phillies season.
I expect us to have a really good season. We got a great lineup. We got something special here. Our bats are going to make a lot of noise. I think the lineup's built for that, to have a really great offense. And pitching just has to show up. I think, and the most difficult thing for all us and everybody in the game of baseball is going to be staying healthy. So I think if we can stay healthy, you're looking at a really good 60-game season.
All right. Now, I think he's going to, that's pretty much par for the course, what I expected him to say about the season. Because I do like the lineup. I think Rhys Hoskins still has some things he has to prove. Mustache should help. Hopefully he keeps that.
Totally. Real Muto had one too.
Yeah,
Muto,
how about that?
Was donning the mustache. And them guns, man.
Yeah.
Sun's out, guns out. It wasn't even sleeveless. It was like half the shirt was missing.
Yeah. Well, the Phillies usually don't soil themselves until like the 120 game mark. So I think they, you know, they got a shot.
That was the biggest optimistic point about a 60 game season. It's like, good, because by game 61, they're terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough ass schedule, but lineup wise, I mean, we were talking about it off air last week. I think they got a lot of flexibility. They got some options. It should be a pretty fun lineup.
Now,
if pitching, you know, helps, we'll see.
Andrew McCutchen was on with us. Then he also talked to John Clark of NBC Sports Philly. And then Joe Girardi addressed the media. Another Zoom call happened yesterday. And speaking about strategy for this Phillies team, Joe Girardi was asked yesterday about the rotation, because there's been some speculation. Do you go to a six-man rotation, you know, with a seven-man rotation? What do you do with the starting lineup? Here's the new Phillies skipper on what he's going to do with these arms.
I anticipate us using a five-man rotation. Now, there might be a situation in the season where we have a lot of days off in a short period of time. You can't ask them to do more than they're capable of. So I think that's why the rosters have been expanded to 30, because you're going to need more bullpen pieces.
See, I'm on board with that. I think that makes more sense. And here's why I think it lends itself more so to the Phillies not having a six-man rotation. The Phillies barely have three starters.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden they're going to have six?
Spencer Howard. Tight pants.
Oh, you stop. Don't talk about tight pants and Spencer Howard. Like, even if you have Aaron Nola, like, even Zach Wheeler, who, by the way, this might hurt Zach Wheeler more than anybody. Because he's only good after game 120. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, he's phenomenal in September and August.
Exactly. Yeah. And guess what? We really don't have. I mean, yes, physically.
Well,
we have
maybe
those months on the calendar.
It's just mental. Maybe it's not warming up. Maybe he just he likes those months.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so maybe he's jumping right into it.
Yeah. So the heart of the season is going to be in August and September. Yeah. So Cy Young.
I'm going to go.
He's going to be a new dad. He's going to be pitching for the baby at home. He doesn't want to embarrass the baby.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. So Cy Young, lock it up.
He leaves the house. The baby's first words are, "Don't you embarrass me." I'm in this world now.
He's probably like a plus 4,000 on the Cy Young odds. Why not take a shot?
Because I think people are mostly looking at the first like 13 starts of his year.
Yeah. Well, he struggles in the first month of the season.
Maybe we'll just, I know.
These are different times.
Can we hypnotize him? Maybe that's what the Phillies need to do.
Maybe.
Bring in a hypnotist. The person will wear a mask. You hypnotize him into thinking he just pitched the first 3 months of the season. And then he's like, oh, this is what I'm good
at. Just show him all of his August and September numbers and say, God, you're phenomenal in this month. Can't wait to see you go.
What did Wheeler
get? There it is. It's not the beginning. It's August.
What did Wheeler get? Like 120 million, 150 million? What did he end up getting?
120, I think.
Okay. Like 118 jumps to mind right now. But nonetheless, like, of all the pitchers you have right now, who's the guy you look at and go, oh yeah, I can't wait to see what he does. Like that, or you have the most confidence in, I should say, because it ain't tight pants.
It's Aaron Nola.
It's Aaron Nola. And that's the one guy you can look at and really go, all right, that's the guy.
5 years, 118.
118, okay. So you have Zach Wheeler after that, who you just gave all this money to, but really, he's only been great in the second half of the season, September. So is he going to come out of the gates just firing, ready to go?
Yeah.
If it's a mindset, okay, you're optimistic.
He's living at the top of Comcast, too. He's going to come out firing.
Because Girardi already did something that the Phillies the past two seasons haven't done. And this is what he said. Talking about the pitchers, I can't ask them to do more than they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from day one, the last 2 years, by throwing Vinny Velasquez and throwing Pivetta and throwing those guys out there as your third, fourth, and fifth starter, you were already asking them to do more than they're capable of. So Girardi's already ahead of the curve.
All right, good. He gets it.
He understands it.
Do you think Joe Girardi's sitting in front of his PlayStation 4 playing MLB The Show, trying to figure out?
I think it's incredible.
Managerial decision?
No, I don't think so. Every manager in baseball cringed when they heard Gabe say that.
All right, what's on your minds?
Every once in a blue moon, we get a call that compares something in real life to playing a video game. Whether it's, I feel like we get it the most in Madden.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater just centered his playbook in Madden,
and that's fine.
Like, that's pretty good. It does.
But you know what? Here's what I do like about it.
Halfback toss. You got to memorize this one.
Yeah.
Might want to hold on to that one.
Wait, this works every time. I can do this move right here. Here's what I do like about it is at least putting yourself in the situation. It's at least making your mind
thinking game-ish.
You know what it is? Mental reps.
Yeah, kind of.
You ever been injured in a sport? The coach looks at you and goes, hey, you got to go mental reps. Huh? Oh, you mean paying attention? Okay, coach. Remember that? Sixers would have those. Flyers would have mental reps.
Sit right here on the bench next to me and pay attention.
Yeah, mental reps. Yeah, the maintenance day in hockey, for instance. You're supposed to get your mental reps.
Yeah.
Backup quarterbacks coming off of injury. Oh, he had some good mental reps at practice day. So he paid attention. Okay, good. You didn't have to give him a little brain duster just so he could make sure that he was paying attention. 610-632-0975. So like that's what the Phillies are up to right now. We'll continue the conversation a little bit later about whether or not Major League Baseball should be more forthcoming about COVID-19 and coronavirus and releasing names of players that might actually have it. I'm not banging the drum for it today. I'm just asking the question, why not? Where's the harm? I see they're only really being negative. Like, it's not something that I think people are embarrassed to have.
No.
Did you see that? Yeah. 100,000 people a day is the latest prediction by Anthony Fauci? Great. Like, it shouldn't be an embarrassing thing. And also, I don't see where it's harmful either.
And especially that, okay, if you want to hide it now, whatever it may be, you're in the public eye very, very soon. You can't hide anything. Reporters aren't going to have to dig when someone's not in a starting lineup or someone's not on the bench for what becomes 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Like, it's going to be out there anyway. So why not just do it now?
No, I'm 1,000% with you. The other thing with baseball, it is just fun seeing the guys at CBP.
It's great.
And like, it's...
They put out, the Phillies tweeted it or Instagrammed out a video yesterday of Real Muto just taking batting practice. And I literally wasn't even watching. I just like put it up to my ear and heard the bat cracking. And I was like, ah.
Yeah, it is. I can't fight that.
That sounds so nice.
I can't fight that feeling.
Yeah, the crack of the bat is still one of the best sounds in sports.
Yeah, I was watching SVP yesterday and he was talking about just play ball. He had Tony Clark on.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this guy.
Yeah.
Like, usually I'm kind of cool. I like the guy that's the head of the Players Association. But, like, over this, I don't like anybody. baseball? Pff, no. And SVP was talking about how they got, like, right now you have play ball as the elixir. Like, once you say play ball, is it all cured? And I'll be like, well, I'll be watching basketball, so I don't know. But I think a lot of people will have that. At least I got it back.
Yeah.
Small sample size or not, I got it back.
Well, now that I know that it's coming, and I said this to you yesterday during one of the breaks, we had the KBO on the TV here in the studio. I was watching it, and a left-handed hitter was up, and it was a sweet swing, a double into the gap, and I just turned to you, and I said, God, I miss baseball. Mm-hmm. And like now I watch the KBO with a little more interest because I know that the real stuff's coming back soon. Mm-hmm. We'll fall back in love quickly. I know you don't think so, Mark, but you'll see. Once you see the crack in the bat, once you hear the crack, see something that you really missed, maybe it's a head first slide inside, whatever it may be, you're going to say, ah, oh, there it is. You'll see. It'll be that comfort zone will come back to you.
Before I flip over to basketball?
Yeah, the 3 days later you'll flip. But okay, it's all right.
I do miss that crack, Bob. I do miss that crack.
Yeah, crack's addicting.
That's what I heard. Max in Philly, what's on your mind today, Max?
Yo, I got something that will guarantee an Eagles Super Bowl.
Oh, Eagles Super Bowl. You got a guarantee.
We did this a few years ago with Anthony. But if Meek Mill drops a new song dedicated to the Eagles that the players get behind, we will guarantee a Super Bowl. You look at the Giants with Jim Jones and Ballin. You look at the Steelers with Wiz Khalifa. You look at the Packers with Lil Wayne, Green and Yellow. And then Meek Mill, Dreams and Nightmares. All he's got to do is come up with it. Let's crowdsource it. Let's get it done. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
All right. Where's the lie? Here's where it is. Didn't he dedicate his album after the Super Bowl champions to the Eagles? And they haven't won since. Maybe there's a Meek Mill curse. Maybe Meek Mill's now a curse. Maybe that's the problem. Bob, what do you think of that analysis?
Somebody took time out of their day to think of that. That's the equivalent of watching a bad movie. Wasted time.
Speaking of bad ideas, here's a good idea. I think at the moment, and this is what we're going to do, Jamie, just to see who's right here. I need Donna to pause the TV when you walk away and take a picture of the scene.
I was going to tell her to set her timer.
Yeah, do that, but just take a picture of the scene in Eurovision.
Yeah, we need to know the exact scene that causes.
Because I think I know.
Okay, obviously don't.
I'm not going to do it. But I think I know the scene where you're going to be like, okay, I'm out.
Now, this movie just came out this week, right?
Yeah. Or last week, whatever.
I'd like to hear for people that have seen it, if they could give us a little synopsis. Good, bad, god awful.
Do we need a side Twitter poll? Have you seen it? If you've seen it, do you like it? Did you hate it? Stupid.
I'm still not sure that I got the full review from you guys. Like, all right, here, let's do this.
Okay.
5 stars, Jamie and Mark. 5 stars, what do you give it? Jamie.
2.
I'd go 2.5.
Yeah, it was 2.5 comes to mind.
Because I would watch it again.
Egan, what do you got? You're the movie.
Yeah, 2.5.
2.5.
Yeah, it was about what I expected.
Okay, so that's perfect. That's the kind of movie I need to try to get through. is the 2.5.
I just glanced at Twitch right now, and I see Flinny, too, says -3 stars. It's a dumb movie.
I enjoy dumb movies. I don't mind dumb movies.
Like one of my favorite things I've seen probably in the last year on Netflix is Adam Sandler 100% Fresh. Because it wasn't it wasn't hilariously funny throughout. I had probably 5 belly laughs in the 90 minutes, I think the special is, hour and 20 minutes. One of the last bits he does is great. It's a tribute to Chris Farley, and most people know that by now. But I smiled throughout the entire thing. I just really enjoyed it.
That's good.
This wasn't that, but I did enjoy the movie.
Okay.
And I would recommend it to a select group of people. If you one of my favorite comments,
but you wouldn't normally recommend it to me.
No,
right, exactly, no. Yeah. No,
but
so that's why this is a good challenge. I love challenges.
Okay. See, that's why I think 18.5 is a good over under for you.
Yeah,
because you're gonna feel like okay, I can make it to 20. I can make it to 20 minutes.
No, I'm not gonna keep my eye on the clock.
Okay,
I am gonna do this honestly. Okay. I am going to just like I do every minute. I'll go in.
Okay,
I'll try.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
But we need the screenshot, essentially, of the moment you walked away from
the camera. Okay. All right.
I think I know what the exact moment will be. And I am curious to see if that's where it lands on this. By the way, when I did see the first trailer to this, I thought it was just a sequel to Blades of Glory. The Will Ferrell, John Hader, I believe his name is, figure skating movie.
Yeah,
John Hader. You're a big fan?
I don't mind John Hader.
Okay.
I do.
Did you watch Napoleon Dynamite?
I did. Yeah. I did. I saw Napoleon Dynamite. I watched it with my kids and with some other kids. And did you know who he's cousins with, Jamie? Hader?
I've heard this.
Vysica Emma. Our friend Vysica Emma.
Get the hell out of here.
Oh, yeah. They're cousins.
Wait, Napoleon Dynamite and Vi are cousins.
Swear to God.
First cousins?
Yeah, and I'm 6 feet.
All right, I'll text. You'll see. I'm right.
I know. I believe you.
All right, Will Ferrell is cousins with me then.
Because if you'd lie about that, that's weird. But all right.
Yeah.
It's too weird to be a lie.
I can't make that up, right?
It is too weird to be a lie. We do need Donna to text us a picture of the moment you walk out of it over the weekend. So it was Saturday you're going to watch?
I believe it'll be Saturday night, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. When we come back.
I hear you.
8:30, we're going to talk to Keith Pompey, Inquirer.com, about all things Sixers. 9:30 today, we'll be joined by Malik Rose, who's got a great gig in the NBA front office. Director of NBA, player operations? How will those players be operating in the bubble? We'll ask the new director.
Boy, taking a job at a weird time, huh?
Yeah, the VP of
operations. Great, Malik's the best.
So we'll talk about that and see how everything's operating down there in the bubble in the not-too-distant future. Also, on Bubble 2.0 in Chicago. That should be interesting. Also, when we return, there's a term that I think we're gonna tell Bob about that I don't know if he's heard yet. And we'll refer to that in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, we're going to have some fun with this conversation. Bob, what is a thruple?
I'm watching dolphins.
Oh, where are they at? Oh, Wildwood Coast. Oh, well, that's nice.
There's nothing I like better than being down the shore and you see like a pack of dolphins. They're not a pack, but a school.
Is this a school?
I don't know. They just had it on TV.
No,
they added
something.
A pod. That's it. It is a pod.
Dolphins are a pod.
Yeah. So they were all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.